I'm Nicole.
And I'm Monica.
And we're two fangirls who like to talk about media and knit. This is our podcast, While We Were Knitting. This month, we watched Bluey, which is an Australian animated show about a family of anthropomorphic dogs. Anthropomorphic? I don't know how to say that word. You know which word I'm talking about. It is a show that is aimed at small children and their parents, but is actually extremely enjoyable even if you are neither of those. Each episode is 7 minutes long. And there are three seasons. For today's show, we watched 28 episodes and we'll be talking about those and about some of the other ones that we might have watched outside of that. This month, I spun and I also knit the Candy Stripe shawl by Christina Werge.
I knit the Great Hall Beret by Irina Anikeva.
So, Monica, one of the things that you and I talked about, I was getting ready for this, I was like, okay, it's short. They're like little episodes that are 7 minutes each. How did you find that interacted with your knitting? Did you just like let it play, or how did that
It was actually okay with my knitting. Honestly, because
work?
I was watching it on Disney Plus, honestly, the most annoying part is that the Disney Plus app function isn't really great and mine would hang quite a lot. So that
Oh
was honestly much more annoying than the switching between the episodes or the fact that the episodes were 7 minutes long.
no.
They didn't feel like they were 7 minutes long. They were a very satisfying length and they all concluded in such a way that it felt very complete and very satisfying. But yes, most of the having to put down my knitting was because of the annoyance of the app, not actually a function of the episode itself.
That is extremely unfortunate.
Yeah.
My app did not have that struggle, but I would have not been very happy had it. So the first time I was watching it through is I put together the list of episodes, just looking at Wikipedia and having watched it previously. And then I sat down with my friend Cynthia and we watched like 5 hours as I watched every episode that I had listed and then was like, okay, yes. No, yes, no. So there was like a lot of picking up and putting down, especially because Wikipedia orders them in different order than Disney Plus.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
Because I think Wikipedia has the original broadcasting order and Disney Plus has arranged that a little bit. Wikipedia also has all of season three and Disney Plus only has half of season three, something that I think about all the time. When I'm putting together these like list of episodes, and I was so angry because I'm like, there's things in there that I haven't seen and I want to see them because it's just a good show.
It is. They must just be working on licensing, but I bet they're gonna get it. There's no way they won't.
For those of you who haven't seen it, there are four main characters. There is Bluey, the eldest daughter of the family, titular character. There's Bingo, who is her younger sister, who's like a stone cold little weirdo. There's her
is.
He's so weird. I love Pico so much. There is Bandit, their father, and then there's Chili, who is their mother. And it's all set in a world where basically dogs are humans, but like they have like kind of doggy characteristics. Like when they're happy, they wave their tails. They have dog names like Bluey and Bingo and Bandit and Chili. So it's very interesting. I will say, I don't think we watched this episode, but there is one episode where they discover a bird who has been like injured. And they take it to a vet.
I
And
did
I
see
was like,
it.
oh, you
I
did see
did
that.
see that one.
Okay, Poppycat. And I was like, there are vets in this world. And I like blew my mind. I was like, people have pets, but they're dogs.
So I didn't actually know it
Like,
was an animated series.
okay.
And I was much comforted by that because I thought it was going to be like blue, what is it called? Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues. Yep.
Yeah. And the whole like anthropomorphic human animal animated thing doesn't work for me from an Uncanny Valley standpoint. Like those 3D shows do not work for me at all. So the fact that it was like traditional animation style, I found very, very comforting and much easier to watch. But the other thing was, it took me a couple of episodes to figure out that Bingo and Bluey were both supposed to be girl dogs. I had no idea what they were in the beginning, which was fine. I had no problems with that. And then, like, I was like, oh, she called her she. Oh, she also called her she. And I don't know why it was my automatic assumption. I guess this says something about my upbringing that I had assumed that one of them was going to be a boy dog and one of them was going to be a girl dog. And they weren't.
No.
But it definitely made me think about why in the world I made that assumption right from the beginning, you know?
Well, there is one episode called Double Babysitter where their parents go out for a date night and they have their uncle and like their mom's friend who both get double booked as babysitters. And at one point, I think the uncle calls Bluey he, and she's like, I'm a girl dog. It's like, just because I'm blue doesn't mean I'm a girl dog. But yes, it is a thing. But the formerly holder of the record of oldest dog in the world was actually a blue heeler in Australia named Bluey. Who made it to 29 years old. So apparently it's like, a really common thing to name a blue heeler. Or maybe not really common. I don't know Australian naming practices, but like common enough thing to name your dog Bluey.
I can see that. Yes. I was very confused when the ep because I thought that mom and dad dog were just mom and dad.
Sure.
And in the nature of small kids, when they did that episode where they were putting on that little play of how their that was really cute, how where they were putting on the
Yeah.
little play of how their parents met, and they had to ask the and Bluey asked her mom, what was your name before you were mom? And I was like, what? And then I realized, I was like, oh, of course, because for Bluey, her mom is just mom. She doesn't actually have other names.
She's like, you have a name. I don't remember what it is.
Yeah,
Oh,
right.
yes. Your other
This
non-mom
thing.
name.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that episode a lot. And this is an interesting episode because there's a lot that goes on in each episode that is like aimed at children. And it's like life lessons for 6-year-olds, which is one of the categories I think of as a Bluey episode, is like it's good to share. And like sometimes you've got to run your own race and like you can concentrate on other things. And that means that you can keep like running if you just think about other things. So like life lessons for 6-year-olds. So there's the life lessons for 6-year-olds in that. Particularly the show, which is about the show they come on for Mother's Day after Bingo feels like she's ruined everything by accidentally tripping and spilling all her mom's food. And the life lessons for 6-year-olds is the show must go on. You can pick yourself up and keep going even after something happened. But there's this one moment, and I didn't even realize it until somebody on YouTube pointed out, where the balloon bursts, the balloon that they're using to pretend that is Bluey inside of a big shirt that Bingo is wearing. And Bandit like reaches for Chili, and they both just have this like look on their face, and it's like, oh, was there a miscarriage?
That's exactly what I thought too, and I was like, no, this is not where they're going, is it? And it wasn't, fortunately, but that's totally what I thought.
Yeah, but it like the question is like, has there been another miscarriage that the kids don't know about? And like Bandit's like, oh God, okay. I love you. It's fine. This thing happened. We still have this beautiful family.
Yeah, no, I saw that reaction too. I was like, wait, what? What? This is a show for 6-year-olds. Just a second now.
No, I really think, and I've come to believe this from various places, that like it is packaged as a show for 6-year-olds because it's about like small children, but it's actually a show for the parents of 6-year-olds. Like that their children will also like because it's about like how to be a good parent in a lot of ways and like how to love your children and like teach them life lessons. And I was talking to my friend Steph who has small children and I had recommended Bluey to her and she said I don't watch too much but compared to a lot of other shows of theirs that I put on I find that Bluey draws me in the most whereas I usually tune the others out. So I really feel like in a lot of ways the audience is parents.
Yeah, there were definitely a couple of episodes there where I was nearly completely sure that, like, so for example, the one that I'm thinking of, and this I think was probably one of my favorite episodes, was the baby race episode,
Yes.
where Bingo's mom is essentially narrating how she felt with Bingo's and Bluey's mom was narrating how she felt, when Bluey was just not hitting the same milestones that she expected her to hit or that the other kids were hitting. And I was like, would a kid actually get this, or would they just think that the idea that Bluey was scooting along on her butt is funny,
Yes.
Because that entire thing, I was 100, I was like, oh no, this isn't an episode for the kids at all. Like,
No.
the lesson is not for the kids. The lesson is, parenting is hard. You can't compare yourselves. You can't pr compare yourself to other people. You're doing okay. Your kids are
Yes.
fine. You're okay. And I'm like, oh no, this is not a child's lesson. This is
No.
100% a mom who is dealing with a screaming toddler lesson.
Yes. Bluey gets me a lot, and I'm just like, okay, well, I'm sitting here crying for this show about small animated dogs. What? But like, that is one of the episodes that gets me. Like when Coco's mom comes over and is like, I have eight, no, nine children, and I just want you to know you're doing okay.
I know,
Yeah.
I cried too. I was
Yeah. It's so good. The other one that always gets me on kind of a similar like mom feelings is Sleepy Time, which is my
like, what?
favorite episode. That's the one where Bingo's like, I'm gonna sleep in my own bed because I'm a big girl now. And then she has a dream about space. And it's got that beautiful like orchestral background. And it's like intercut with very funny bits where it's like Bluey can't go to bed and is like, Dad, will you come sing to me? I need a glass of water.
And I need to go to the toilet, and she wants him to sing to
But
her while she's on the toilet.
like Bingo is undergoing this like beautiful, fantastic journey in her dreams with her little toy rabbit, and she feels distressed at one point because she's cold and sad, and the rabbit has fallen off, and she thinks the rabbit has left her. And then there's the voice of the sun, which is like her mother being like, I will always love you even if you can't see me. And I'm just like, okay, well, I'm crying, I'm crying. So that one always gets me. That's, I think, my favorite episode.
It was a very beautiful episode.
Yeah.
Like, most of them are built in a very charming way, but that one was like visually very pretty.
Yeah. Which one did you end up liking best?
I like the mum one. I like the race one. But you know, the one that hit me unexpectedly was the camping one.
Yes. Whenever Sean moves to the end, like, I've now seen that episode at least three times. I just like sit up straight and I'm like, oh, yes.
I know, but you know, but like the whole, for one thing, I loved the fact that, you know, he was actually speaking understandable French. And I love the fact that they definitely found a way to communicate and like just be kids together. It didn't really matter that they didn't really speak each other's language, but that he didn't have any way to communicate that he was leaving, you know? And then the little tree that they planted together, she was so excited to see to show him that the sprout had come up and he was gone. And I was like, oh. And I thought that's really, you know, I thought that that lesson was going to end there, that, you know, we should be happy that these like people come into our lives even if they leave us. So I totally did not ex I was like, oh, the tree is growing. Oh, that's so Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised. Oh, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it.
That's another one that makes me cry. I'm just like, it's back.
Yes.
That was just another one that's also very beautiful because there's like, when I think of Bluey, I think of it in three categories. I think of it as is the importance of connection, the life lessons for 6-year-olds, and imaginative play, where it's just like a story that they're playing out that we're watching. And one of the kind of subparts of the importance of connection is also like the beauty of nature. And that one is very heavy on the beauty of nature when they like go out at night with Bingo and they're like, okay, I have to go to the bathroom, and they're like underneath these beautiful stars and like
While she's holding Bingo up so she can pee into a bush. It's such a great combination of like emotional impact and just out and out like little kid comedy.
yes. One of the episodes I included because I was like, there's also some interesting like ones that are playing with structure a little bit that are also like really interesting to watch in terms of, okay, we've spent, you know, however many episodes, because there's like 50 episodes a season, because they're only 7 minutes long. So like, you know, there's a lot of episodes where they're like, we've done all the kind of straightforward pieces, so we're gonna play with it a little bit. So like Facey Time, which is the one where they're doing like face talk with Muffin and Socks, their cousin, and like Muffin is like hogging, and it's like a lesson about sharing. But also, instead of like just having it be a straightforward lesson, you're seeing a split screen where like the screen is moving around and one half is doing this and the other half is doing that. And I really like that from like a structural point. But it's also very funny because Muffins, who is basically a terrorist, is like, no, I can't share. I love
Muffin is hilarious. And who's the tiny little brown dog who's scared of everything? What's her name? Olive?
it.
No.
I know
No.
exactly what you're talking about, but I can't remember her name, but she's also
Yeah.
very funny. She's great. I love all their little friends, and I appreciate that like as the series goes on, they are very good about bringing back reoccurring characters. Like you see the same characters over and over again. Like that stupid little Furby thing that they have dancing in the show. Like there's an entire episode about that thing and about how much their parents hate it.
Well, valid, valid.
You're like, I'm looking at him like, yeah, I know about Furbies.
But oh, and the fact that her dad keeps having to, it's not 99 bottles of beer because of course it's a 6-year-old show, it's 99 bottles of thing, and that ha keeps coming
Yes.
back, that song.
Yes.
And you can see the look on his face when he has to sing this dang song.
It's very good. It's also very funny because some of their like a little imaginative personas come back, like the grannies in the episode about the bus where they're all pretending to be on the bus and like Louie
This
and
weirdest
to be the
episode.
grannies. The grannies, like Janet and Rita, are their granny sonas. Like they are always Janet and Rita. They are always wearing those little costumes.
Yes. I can see that though. I mean, yeah.
I love that episode a lot too, where she's like, I want to have your bus baby. And then you're like, oh, as you know, an adult, you're like, okay, this is a show for children. And then we're to understand that since they're, you know, mom and dad in real life, in the imaginary scenario that they're playing out, where she's trying to approach a stranger, of course it will all work out. And then you cut to like 15 seconds later, and she's like, no, he's married to a giraffe. And I was like, why?
Yeah, I was like, what? That was not where I expected this to go. Some of the episodes are like totally predictable in a very cute way, and some of them just aren't. Like you
No.
just don't see the outcome of them coming. And so even though it is they are just like little 7-minute episodes, you don't get tired of watching them, you know?
No. Which is really impressive because, yeah, there's so many of those. And they're so it's like a lot of ground that you could be retreading, but they managed to keep it fresh. And it's also impressive because they're 7 minutes long and they managed to fit so much in each little 7 minute chunk.
The
I'm
first
like,
one that I watched was the ocean, the one where they went to the beach.
yes.
And I was like, and you had put it under the heading of imaginative play. So I was like, oh, she's going to go see her mom, and her mom is far away, and so she has to make her way to her mom. I totally did not expect this whole like little imaginative journey to like take those steps to the beach, you know, her finding the little crab and her like being scared of the jellyfish on her way there and the clam peeing on her as it's going. It was just so charming. And all this while, she's a mermaid with legs and she's making her way to her mom.
She's a mermaid who only has legs for one day.
Yes, only one day,
One
that's right.
day. Well, it's very funny because speaking of reoccurring characters, the dog who's like, you only have your legs for one day, that's her like kindergarten teacher who is
Oh, I didn't
Calypso.
realize
Yeah.
that.
Again, I have watched many of these episodes multiple times. That's Calypso. I do think that Calypso is actually psychic. Like that is part of the show. Like it's never officially stated, but there's a couple times where I was like, wait a second. So like
I
that might be a thing.
love the fact that when they're doing that episode where she and Chloe, the Dalmatian,
Yes.
that's her name, where she and Chloe are like being princesses, they get to like they switch back and
You
forth
switch back
between
and
who
forth.
back and forth. They manage to recruit the like evil little farting little boys who are making farting noises. And that sort of carries through because obviously in the later episode, they're playing octopus,
Yes.
right? But I like that we get to see not just their friends, but like their friends' families as well, you know, and the differences between Bluey's and Bingo's family, which, to be honest, like I watch these episodes, I'm like, holy heck, these guys are good parents.
They are such good parents.
They're
Who
phenomenal parents. And then you go to Chloe's house where things are a little different and they kind of have to work it out, you know?
Yeah, I really appreciate that episode as somebody who isn't like, I mean, I don't have children, so like I can't be like, this is how I am as a parent, but like somebody who I don't think would find it as natural to like do that sort of imaginative play with a child. And obviously, Chloe's dad, like when he's like, oh, you have to be an octopus, he's like, okay, I'll be an octopus, but he doesn't come as naturally to him. And he has to like really try and figure out like what is his way of doing this imaginative play. with his daughter in a way that makes them feel both like they're having fun, but he can't just do what Bingo does. He has to do his own version. And ultimately, it's like a great version and they're having so much fun. And they learn all about those little sea creatures and they're like
I
poisonous type of octopus. And you're like, good for you, kids.
Yeah, you spray ink, you have you like you're an electric eel, you can shock the octopus. And I'm like, oh yes, that is totally the kind of imaginative play I would be doing with a small child.
They have to figure out their own way. They have to like be like feel sad and hurt and then be like, okay, well, we are going to do this research together and
Yeah.
then be able to say yes and
Yes.
so.
But the fact that like when she was like hurtful to him, she's a 6-year-old and she was hurtful to him, his whole thing wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be hurt because my 6-year-old is being a jerk. It was to go off and like do his research and see like, okay, what can I do to make this
Yeah.
work for us? And I'm like, oh.
It's really nice. I think like the only people who are like not really good parents in this are, God bless them, Stripe and Trixie, who are not good parents.
Yes.
And like it's mostly like around setting boundaries with Muffin, which they are
Yeah.
not very good at.
No, they bought Muffin an electric car.
Well,
I
it came free with their other car.
Until I remembered it was a show for 6-year-olds, I was like totally expecting there to be some kind of a disaster that happened with the electric car.
No, I love the electric car. And then Muffin's like, I am now the mechanic.
Yeah.
And I will come rescue you when you are trying to deliver pizza. I also enjoy, and this is like a little thing, but like as the seasons went on, initially it's just like here's the opening, here's the closing. But they started doing like different things with the opening. Well, not usually with the opening. Opening's usually the
The
same, but with
closing.
the closing, and that was
Yeah. It took me a little while to notice that, though it's possible it wasn't actually happening in the beginning and then I started, but yes, it took me a little while to notice. I was like, oh wait, that's not, oh yeah.
There was one episode that I actually made you watch, not because I was like, this is one of my favorite episodes, but because I was like, this I think is the first time we have seen on screen somebody actually doing yarn crafts. Because I think in Handmaiden, there was people sewing, but Curry Quest, which is the one where they do that like metatextual narrative of like, how does storytelling work? It starts with Bluey sitting with Chili and she's learning how to crochet. And I also made
She's
you watch this.
changing colors.
She's changing colors. And Chili's like, I'm on a quest for rainbow yarn. And I'm like, okay, listen, I understand that you're telling us this because it's a narrative structure that we need to then explain how a quest works. However, there's rainbow yarn all over the place.
That's what I thought too. I was like, is there going to be rainbow yarn at the end of this episode then? Because that's pretty easy. There was
It's so
not.
easy. There was no rainbow yarn. But I was like, okay, if there is anything that I would have to knit inspired by this situation, I'm like, it would have to be a scarf and variegated yarn. That's just what it has to be.
So what I was thinking was there's a cowl called the Multiverse Cowl. It's a pattern from the Neighborhood Fiber Co. studio. And it is stripes of orange and blue with in like a gradient. And I was thinking of that. And not only that, it's basically stocking, it's just colorful stockinette knitting around forever and ever and ever. And I was like, this is totally the kind of project that a young kid could do once they learn how to knit around. Just go around and around and around in colors that represent their family.
I love that. Oh my God, I'm gonna have to look this up. That makes me so happy. I also love that sometimes they pretend to be like Bingo and Bluey will pretend to be either married to each other or have like little husbands.
Yeah.
And every single time it's like deranged. It's like, this is
Yeah.
my husband, the garden gnome,
Yeah.
Hecuba. And you're like,
I
Hecuba?
know. Gerald and Hecuba, the husband garden gnomes.
Oh my God.
And then Hecuba falls off and like breaks on the ground. Where are my husband? I'm like, oh my God.
Oh gosh, I do like Hammer Barn a lot. That's very fun. They're like, and Chili's like, you can't just have everything you want because life isn't free. And then they go to the paint chip aisle and they're like, actually, it is free.
sandwiches out of the paint chips. And like the writers of this show have a lot of experience with what kids of this age are like. I have to believe that. You know, either have they've done like extraordinary research, or they've just done a like, or they're like, oh yes, this is my life.
Bluey and Bingo. I mean, like, I feel like I'm pretty sure all the kid dogs are voiced by actual children, but I know for a
It
fact
sounds
that
like it. It
yeah.
sounds like it.
And I think they're just like the kids of people who work on the show.
Oh,
Yes.
wow.
So if you look at the credits, like, none of the kids are ever listed. Like, they decided to protect the privacy of the children, which I think is a good idea. But that's very
Valid.
interesting. And that's why I think, like, a lot of it, I wonder sometimes if they're like, oh, my kid said this, and then they just write it into an episode.
It seems like it, because there are definitely moments, you know, I have a lot of contact with small children of that age, and there are like definitely moments where I'm like, oh yeah, 100% a 6-year-old would have said that. In fact, I cannot imagine an adult even thinking it.
I love the episode as well where they're just doing imaginative play in terms of like running away from each other. Like, and it's just the like little scribble styles and those little cartoons back and forth. That makes me, I really love that one. When they're like, I'm running away from you, and they're like, Jerry Lee, our science butler, is going to fly the dream
Oh
house
my
for us. He
God.
can't get away from us.
And then they have to turn around and like it is the but yeah, I love the different art styles. Every episode is interesting in its own little way.
And then I feel like another one that was like, this is actually for parents. Like, it's about children, but it's for parents, is the one where they go to visit Chili's dad, who like doesn't want to
Oh
rest.
yeah.
And like Louie's like, well, I don't need to eat my like little pumpkin seed. So like you and I, we're the same. But it's all about like how he's getting older and how like Chili's like, I need you to rest because I need you to be there for me. And that's one where they're sitting at the dock at the end and she's like, it was a while ago. He's like, no, it was just yesterday. And I was like sobbing in my thing. It's so important for your parents to take care of themselves.
Yeah, that I mean, yes. Yeah. Now I'm getting emotional again. Oh
Goes for your feelings. You're like, oh, I wasn't expecting this. And then it comes for your feelings.
Yeah, no, it was yes, definitely. Oh man. I didn't the one that I didn't expect to come from my feelings was the Pirates episode where they're playing at being pirates. And yeah, it seems like such a cute episode. You know, one of their little friends is really young. She's scared. She's small. She's afraid of the like rocking hammock. You know, she has to figure out her own way to like play along and to not be scared. But it's also about how, you know, how their dad is totally fine being like wild and crazy when it's just them. But the moment he thinks someone is watching, he gets embarrassed. And I'm like, oh yes, it happens to adults too.
And then
Adults
like,
get scared too.
and then like their little friend looks up at him and he's like, please, Mr. Whale, I'm trying so hard. And he like looks down at her and is like, I have to try too. And I was like, oh God, I'm having some feelings. I'm having things. Oh
So
God.
many feelings, yeah.
So many feelings. I didn't end up including any of the Christmas episodes in here. This is less of a surprise to you, but I was watching it. I'm like, oh, Christmas is in summer in Australia. Right. Okay. Yeah, but there's this one episode that's about Christmas and it's about Socks, the little biting puppy who's their cousin, like bites Bluey. And they're like, everybody's really obsessed with Santa in that episode and being good for Santa explicitly. So Santa will bring you presents. And they're like playing at being Santa. And then Bluey takes a turn being Santa, but she doesn't give Socks a present because Socks was bad and bit her. And it's like this whole thing. And Socks is really upset and like runs off. And it's like, but Socks bit me. And her parents were like, yes. And that was bad. But Socks is very young and you have to make allowances. And then Bluey feels bad because she made Socks feel bad. And they're like out in the front yard being like, I'm sorry. And they have this little reconciliation like underneath a set of light up reindeer, but also it is the middle of summer. So it's very emotional.
So Sots only appears in one of the episodes that I saw. I thought she was an actual puppy, like a pet. I did not know that she was supposed to be an actual, like, humanized character. Oh.
This is one because I was watching with Cynthia when I was putting together a list of episodes. She was like, "So, like, what is going on with this character?" And I'm like, "As far as I can tell, when you are in this world, like a baby, like you're more like a puppy as we understand it. And then as you get older, you become like more like an anthropomorphic like child or adult that's a human." So Sox is in that Bumby. Barnabas and the Wise Old Wolfhound, and she's just like biting people, mostly Bandit. And then you see her, yeah, going through it. You
He's
see her,
so patient.
there's like little Band-Aids all over his legs. You see her again in Pizza Girls because she's Muffin Sister, so she's,
Oh, I didn't realize that was her.
yes. And then you see her again in the Facey Time one. Again, she's like learning to talk and she's Muffin's sister. And there's a couple episodes in between there that she's also in, but like I just, you know, cut them out because I was like, can I make Monica watch 10 plus hours of a children's show? And I was like, I mean, I do it, but like, I don't know
You
if
know what? If
that's on
I
at this
had
point.
had more time this month, I probably would have totally watched them all.
It's great.
I still may at some
You still
point.
may. Listen, they're there for you. They're on Disney Plus. I think one of the things that's interesting to think about also is like as the series goes on, we are seeing Bluey and Bingo not get like super older, but they're getting slightly older, you know, they're, as time progresses. It's been three series. And it's very smart of them, I think, to build out a larger cast of characters so you can have smaller children who might need to learn like similar lessons and have like Muffins and have that Sox relationship. For things where it's like, okay, well, Bluey and Bingo have already done this storyline, but it's not like a linear situation where you have to sit down and like watch episode. It's a children's show. You should be able to just pick up whatever episode and start there.
I didn't feel I missed anything by missing episodes, but there was definitely a difference in not, I don't know if maturity is the right word, but there was a difference in the way that they approached problems that I think would was different towards the end of the third season compared to the beginning of the first.
Yeah, I think it was just like if you have this problem, you can solve it this way, but we've already solved it this way in a previous episode. And like, you know, some people have actually seen this entire thing, especially because it's available streaming. It's not like when you and I were kids, and it's like, you know, the episodes are whatever is on the TV. Like if you're watching this in Disney Plus, and if you're watching in Australia on whatever service it is. Streaming in Australia. I don't know if the Australian Broadcasting Company has an app. Maybe they do. I don't know. Whatever service they're streaming in on Australia, like you can just sit down and watch the entire thing in a way that you like that was impossible when you were kids.
So I don't actually know how it's broadcast, but the reason I was thinking that it might actually just be broadcast on TV rather than just on streaming service is that when I was living in Japan, they had shows that were just 10 minutes and they had their own little block of time and they would basically like play three episodes in that block of time. And then the next day it would be another three episodes, things like that. But it was actually played on, obviously, this was also before streaming. This was before the internet. This was mostly before the internet. But
Oh,
yeah.
I do think that it's on television. Like, I think it's produced by, again, the Australian Broadcasting Company. And I'm like, I think it is actually on TVs, but I think it is also probably streaming somewhere. So they
Probably.
have to assume that an audience can consume it via either way because the first season was produced in like, I want to say 2017. So we were like
Oh.
firmly into streaming.
Yeah. Is it finished or are they still making
No.
episodes? I hope not. That would make me sad.
I was like, I did Google this and they seemed to be signed up for season four. Okay, yeah. So it started in October of 2021. And
Oh,
I think
wow.
they're, yeah, I think they're getting up for a new season because season three was 2001 to 2022. So it was, you know, like they just wrapped it like last year. So it would make sense. Like I was like, there should still be more, right? People really like this. You're gonna make more, right?
It is very high production value, though.
Like they're definitely putting a lot of like background stuff into it in a way where I'm like, oh, this probably costs a solid amount to animate. Like I have no idea what animation costs are, but I would assume it costs more to like actually put things in the background.
Obviously, you had seen it before, but Did you find, considering that you would have had to put down your spinning and your knitting when you were flipping episodes, did you find it worked well with your project?
I'm spindle spinning right now. I'm getting back into that when I've traditionally been wheel spinning for the last couple of decades. Not couple of decades, last couple of years. It's easier for spindle because you're already like stopping and doing different things as you're doing it. So that worked pretty well. And then the candy stripe shawl is pretty much at the point I was at, just stuck in it. There was a period of time where at the very, very end of the shawl, you have to like mess around a little bit with the pattern. And that was less conducive to watching pretty much anything because I had to like figure out what was going on in quick succession. But the body of the shawl was definitely very conducive to just sitting down and watching a show. How was your Great Hall Beret in combination?
Well, my Great Hall Beret is a it's an impressive looking but fairly simple cable pattern, and there are no cables that are any bigger than 4-stitch cables, so it was totally fine for watching something. Though there were times where like I enjoyed an episode enough halfway through that I started it from the beginning so that I could just concentrate on it. And I didn't feel bad about it because it was just a 7-minute episode. So it wasn't like I was putting down my knitting for a half hour. It
No.
was putting it down for 3 minutes.
Yeah. You're just like, it's fine. I can just watch the entire thing.
It was one of those things where, I didn't have a lot of time this month, so I would pull it up being like, okay, I'll just watch one or two episodes. I'll like space them out so I can get my time in. And the next thing I knew, I was like 15 episodes in. I was like, what happened?
Oh gosh. One episode that we didn't talk about, but that I do love very, very much is Pavlova, where
The edamame and
yes.
the pavlova. Now, funnily enough, I don't like pavlova and I do love
Like
edamame,
that.
so
Wrong choices.
I
Wrong choices, children.
was like,
But it was very funny because I don't speak a lot of French, and like Bandit is speaking like pretend French, but he's speaking
he's
the type of
speaking.
pretend French that I could speak. I was like, yeah, I know what that is.
Completely
Yeah.
nonsense French. I actually have an uncle who every time he sees me, he says, "Oui, la bibliothèque." And I'm like, why? It was especially funny considering that, not that long before I had watched the camping episode
Yes.
where Jean-Luc, of course, speaks perfect French.
Yeah. Did you end up watching the episode Australia where they have the like Jack's father gets lost on his way trying to get to like the daycare?
No.
Oh my God. There were a couple of that where I was like, okay, this is a real heartbreaker, but I know Monica doesn't have a lot of time this month, so I will cut it out. So there's a really beautiful episode with one of the little friends at the daycare where his father is not from that area of Australia. He's like a city guy and they like live more out in the country. And his sat nav dies. And he's
Oh no,
like
I feel
driving
that so
around.
strongly.
Yeah, episode same. And they're like driving around trying to figure out the way to the thing because normally his mom picks him up. And he's like, his mom isn't there, so it's like my job. And they end up driving through the bush and it's just like beautiful, like pictures of like Australian wildlife. There's like kangaroos and cockatiels. And it's also very funny because their like little toddler sister is in the back just being like, no. And at one point they talk to some backpackers and he's like, do you have a phone? And she's like, yes, but my phone does not have any data because she's a backpacker and from Argentina.
Oh man.
There's a lot of like little Australian things where I'm like, I don't necessarily have the cultural context for this, and I can tell there's something going on here, but like I don't know what's going on here.
I mean, yes. I had kind of forgotten it was Australian actually. So when I first listened, I was like, wait, what is going? Oh, right. They're Australian.
I did learn from the grandpa episode. I was like, I didn't know that Australia sent troops to Vietnam.
You know what? I didn't even think about that.
Because he kept
That's
being
a
like,
good point.
well, he was like in the jungle. And I was like, okay, that's a little bit weird. All right, going forward. And then he like digs up like rations. And I'm like, does grandpa have untreated PTSD from Vietnam? Is this what you're trying to tell me?
That didn't occur. You know what? That didn't even, I'm so used to American media, that didn't even occur to me.
Yeah. Well, it's It's very funny because a lot of the media that they consume is American. Like
Yeah,
sometimes they'll
yeah.
turn on the TV and it will be like there's one episode that they end up watching where basically Chili and Bingo are like hungover after New Year's and
Yeah.
they're like lying down on the couch and they're just, I can't play with you kids because I'm tired. I'm just real tired. And they
Yeah.
never explicitly are like, these parents are hungover. But like as an adult, you're like, yeah, these people went hard last night. And they like are given and they're like, okay, you can have screen time. We're gonna put on a documentary about whales because
Yeah.
they're pretending to do whale watching. And then the whales are like, a mama whale would do anything for her children. And like Chili's like, I do love my children. And like kind of gets up and does like a big whale dive. Oh. But the whale documentary is with an American accent. And there's also another very funny episode where Bluey's like, I've decided I'm old enough to watch movies. But she like was like, is there going to be scary things in this movie? And like Bandit is like, you're kind of a sensitive kid. Like, it's fine if you don't want to watch movies. And she's like, no. But she's like, finds out there's going to be a thunderstorm in the movie from the cashier. And she's just like, oh my God, I don't know if I can deal with this. And it's a movie about a talking chimpanzee. They keep getting interrupted and having to do other things. Bingo will be like, I have to go to the bathroom. Or we'll be like running around. Or Bluey will be like, I don't know if I can do this. And she's like, I am different. And what does it mean that the chimp is afraid that he's different? And like Bandit being an adult watching like a, what is clearly like not a great children's movie. It's just like, I'm pretty sure that the singing monkey is going to find out that what made him different was actually what is good all along. Like what says that in the thing to Bluey. And then they're at the end running around because Bingo is like doing mischief that they're trying to instead lead. And Bluey is standing in front of the screen, like saying the same words as the chimp behind her. And she's like, the power of art. She doesn't actually say the power of art, but like as an
Someone went real meta on
yeah.
that
There's also
episode.
something very delightful that happens in this, and I am in the off chance that someday you watch this episode, I'm not going to spoil it, but I like literally cackled out loud when this happened. But a lot of the media inside of it is actually American media.
That is also somewhat weirdly meta, but I can see that.
You know, somebody had a lot of fun with this, and I salute their entire team and their entire design choices and their show about parenting that is packaged as a children's show. Put it
And
that
that is entertaining even to two random fangirls who have no
No,
children.
none children.
Totally entertaining.
Extremely entertaining. I think it's good that we're able to sit down and be like, you know what? We're gonna watch this show, and then next month we're gonna watch Magic Mike Last Dance, which is like, in a lot of ways, different. The opposite. It's opposite is a thing because it's about male entertainers. A lot of entertainment.
Yes. We
It's the opposite.
live delightful lives.
We do. It's so important. It's so important to be able to enjoy things no matter what the audience is aimed at, if they're enjoyable.
Yes.
I am going to tell you, Monica, I am nervous just because Magic Mike XXL is so good that I'm like, oh my God, can they live up to it? Can they
We
do it
shall
again?
see.
We'll find out. We will find out. But in the meantime, bye.
Bye.